Well, I'm glad I came tonight to hear this report that Brother Gord Abraham has given to us about Turkey. And I'm looking forward to the time when dear Pastor Allen comes back to us. The Sunday after he comes back, I want you to check the offering in this place, because it's going to be a big one, because I know he is a tither. 16 months ago, when I was leading a tour group in the steps of the Apostle Paul through Greece and Turkey, and then we ended in Rome, where Paul went to glory from there, and we visited those seven churches in Turkey and Istanbul, and my, what an amazing place that is. But I went to a bank machine to get some money, and I put my bank card in, and I thought, now how many Turkish liras would I like? So the Bible teaches us to think big, you know. So I put 1,000,000,000, 100 million Turkish liras. And I pushed the button, and out they came. When I got home and checked my bank statement, I discovered it cost me 96 Canadian dollars for 100 Turkish liras in the land of Turkey, where you pay now about 2 million liras for 1 liter of gasoline. So I'm expecting there will at least be, our pastor's going to come back a millionaire. I'm expecting, if it's just 1 million that he comes back with, there's going to be at least 100,000 into the church coffers in the offering the next Sunday when you're back. And I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? But I'm especially looking forward to what he's going to tell us about it. And by the way, it's my hope to share with you on a Sunday evening in the near future a PowerPoint on that trip, so that you can actually make that trip with us and see those places and be thrilled with the gospel that emerged from that area to the ends of the earth. Take your Bibles, please, and briefly tonight I want to share with you from another scripture text, one verse from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. We are considering this glorious theme of resurrection living as discovered in Colossians chapter 3. And if you were with us this morning, you'll know that we were talking about verses 12 to 16. Resurrection living with others. How do I live out this resurrection living? We discover that verse 1 of Colossians 3 tells us what? Talk to me, friends. See if you can say it. Some of you are memorizing Colossians 3 now, because we've been working our way through this chapter. But what does it say in verse 1? Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Are you excited about that? And that tells us about our relationship, resurrection living. Since we have been raised with Christ, this is the way we live in our relationship to Jesus, verses 1 to 4. My resurrection living with Christ. And then we noticed verses 5 through 11 talk about my resurrection living with myself. Oh, that's a little different story, isn't it? And what does Paul say? He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Now those verses are all talking about my resurrection living with myself. And then we came this morning to verse 12 and following about resurrection living with others, especially other believers. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And then we come to verse 17, and this is our text for tonight. My resurrection living in all my... But to think of that every word I must give an account of, Jesus said it, Matthew 12, verse 36, but I tell you that men and women will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Somebody said, many people who have the gift of gab don't know how to wrap it up. And may God help us to learn that. Somebody said, talk is cheap because supply exceeds demand. And that may be true, but you know, it was James, the half-brother of Jesus, who in his epistle, chapter 3, talks about this tongue business. You remember it, don't you? He says in verse 2, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. He says, when we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take a ship as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And he goes on to talk about the tongue. Verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord the Father, and with it we curse men. Oh, God, help us not to do that. Curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. Oh, my brothers, he says, this should not be. And may God help us this week to use our tongues to be a means of blessing rather than cursing the word. And that's why David said in Psalm 19, verse 14, oh, may the words of my mouth as well as the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, whatever you do in words, and this verse also says, or in deed, in your actions, you know, every action flows from my true heart commitment. Where am I really inside? That determines the actions that I do. If I'm self-centered, the actions that I do focus on myself. If I'm Christ-centered, the actions that I'm involved in bring glory to Him. Some time ago, I wrote a song, and in the chorus, I put these words, Holy Spirit, master me. May each thought spring forth from Thee. May my speech by Thee be phrased. In my deeds may Christ be praised. And may that be true for all of us. Now let's notice something else. What I do, that's where whatever you do, why I do it. It says here in this verse, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's why I should do everything that I do to bring glory to Him in the name of Jesus. When we talk about in the name of Jesus, what are we really meaning here? Let me suggest about four things here briefly. First of all, because I recognize the authority of Jesus' name. Oh, what authority there is in that name. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Talk about authority. Even the people who are walking the streets of this city tonight and cursing, one of these days, their knees as well as my knees are going to bow before Jesus. Every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the authority of His name. And what you do, God says, I want you to do it in Jesus' name, in the authority that belongs to His name. Think of that. So that your actions are to reflect to those around you that Jesus is in charge. Then there's another thing I'd like you to see. Because I'm enabled by the Lord. He's the one who gives me the strength to do it, as Paul says in Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things through Christ who strengthens me. By the way, it's important to make this a habit in your life. Habits need to be formed, and that those habits are formed by repetition over and over. May I encourage you to say tomorrow or even tonight before you go to bed, even in whatever you're doing, to say, I'm doing this for you, Lord. This is for you, Lord. And He will enable you in doing what He wants you to do. For you, Lord. Make it a habit. For you, Lord. For you, Lord. I'm enabled by the Lord because He lives within you and He empowers you to do what is right and good that will be a blessing for the people around you. Well, letter C that you see here. Here's another reason. Why I do it? Because I'm Christ's representative. Did you realize that you are representing the Lord Jesus? When you enter, I see a number of students here today. When you walk into that school classroom tomorrow, did you realize as a Christian, as you walk into that classroom, that's really Jesus walking in there? That's the way it ought to be. And the influence and the presence of Jesus Christ is being brought into that classroom. Wow. Because you are Christ's representative in that classroom. When you enter the office where you work, that's Jesus entering into that, that place of business. By the way, when you write a check, that's Jesus writing the check. That's how you should think about it. Or when you're making any kind of a monetary transaction, you are Christ's representative, and since everything you are and have belongs to Him, when you're doing a monetary transaction, that is to be done in Jesus' name. Boy, that kind of helps us to understand the significance of everything we do, doesn't it? By the way, when you drive a car, and some of you will do that when you leave here tonight, the rest of you are walking, I guess, but most of you will be in a car, some of you will be driving. Did you realize when you're driving that car, listen, that's Jesus driving, at least it should be. And I am His representative as I drive. When you come home to your family after a busy day at work, that should be Jesus returning to your family to bless your family. God wants to bless your family through you. And I'm speaking now not just to those who are parents. I'm speaking to young people as well. When you come home from school or from wherever you are and you walk into that house, you should be the impersonation of Jesus Christ Himself coming to bless your parents, your siblings, the people who are around you. You see, life for you is to be like FedEx, or you could call it GodEx. You are the delivery person. And wherever you go, you are delivering Christ's love, Christ's message of salvation, Christ's compassion. Wow. And if you aren't doing that, then you're not showing up to work. God wants every believer to be operating and serving under GodEx, delivery. Delivering the blessing of the Lord, because we are Christ's representative. As 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though it were God Himself making His appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, that kind of makes your life significant, doesn't it? Wow! You are important in being a vehicle to bring blessing to the people who are around you into this needy, needy world. Well, there's one other thing I want you to notice. Why I do it? Letter D, because I must glorify Christ. So I do it all in Jesus' name to bring glory to Him, as 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I mean, eat? Yeah. A Big Mac even? Whatever it is that you are eating, you can eat that to the glory of God. And if you don't, I hope you get sick. Excuse me. But I want to make a point here. I hope you will sense that it's wrong to take a bite of anything without saying, I'm doing this for the glory of the Lord. I happened to pick up Graham Kerr on television the other day. He used to be known as the Galloping Gourmet. How many of you remember that? Oh, yeah, you're old-timers too. But that was 30-some years ago. And back in 1974, he got converted. In 1975, our evangelistic team invited him to come to Ottawa, where we were conducting an evangelistic rally, and for him to come and give his testimony. And I saw him just last week, just for a few moments, picked up his program called now The Gathering Place. Have any of you seen that? Oh, okay, good, all right. But he's a different guy today. It used to be his language was so risque, and he was just making fun of sin all over the place. But now the Lord's cleaned up his life. He's a brand new person in Jesus. And Graham Kerr, I pulled out his website this last week and found a number of good things that are so practical for a Christian. And one of the things that he's doing is calls it outdulgence. That's the opposite of indulgence. You like that? In which he teaches people to change their habits of eating. He says, Trina, his wife, who now also is a believer, and I saw her notice on her website, and it says born in the year 1934, and then born again in 1975 or 74, it said. Isn't that wonderful how God can change lives? But what they were saying, he said, in that little item under outdulgence, he said, we used to eat 8 to 10 ounces of meat at a sitting. Now we've cut that down to 3.5 to 4 ounces because we don't need all of that, and it's better for our health. So what he's learning to do is to glorify God in his body, in whether he eats or drinks, as we were studying here in this scripture. The big point is to stop excessive consumption. And the second thing that Graham and Trina Kerr are doing now, and have for the last 10 years, is they've said, now how much money have we saved by eating less of this stuff? And let's take that money and put it over here, and let's give it in Jesus' name to people who were in need. And they're supporting 2 children under Compassion International through the money that they're saving by this outdulgence instead of indulgence. Oh, I like that. Some time ago I wrote a song that was, I was thinking of that verse, and the chorus says, all for thy glory this world you have made, from the mightiest oak to the tiniest blade, from the herds on the hills to the birds in the trees, from the roar of the sea to the whispering breeze. All for thy glory I ever will sing. All for thy glory my talents I bring. Humbly before thee my life I now fling. All for thy glory, my God and my King. Well, notice one other thing as we get ready to go home here. How I do it. How do I glorify the Lord in my activities? And the answer is, thankfully. That's the way I'm to do it, with a thankful spirit. Did you see that? At the end of verse 17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What? Giving thanks to God the Father through him. By the way, look at verses 15, 16, and 17. How do each of those verses end? Just take a peek there. You'll notice the spirit of gratitude is in each one of them. Verse 15 says, what are the last 3 words of verse 15? And be thankful. What are the last words of verse 16? With gratitude in your hearts to God. And the last verses of verse 17, giving thanks to God the Father through him. There's a triple whammy to tell us how I am to live my life, with a thankful spirit, giving thanks, and be thankful with gratitude in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father through him. By the way, if what you are now doing is not being done with a grateful and thankful spirit, it is not being done to the glory of God. Somebody said there's a marvelous therapy in thanksgiving. If you're not feeling too well tonight for one reason or another, may I encourage you to check your thanksgiving spirit. A thankful heart is a great therapy. You'll find that you'll be healthier physically and in every other way in your life if you are nurturing a spirit of continual thanksgiving. People who are depressed have often lost their spirit of gratitude. Somebody said every virtue divorced from thankfulness is maimed and limps along the spiritual road. And may God give to you and to me a thankful spirit. Thankfulness is the soil in which joy thrives. You want to be happy? The key is thankfulness. And that brings the most glory to the Lord. And may I suggest again, let's teach our children the spirit of gratitude. This is something that has to be taught, by the way. And blessed is the person who learns this as a child, but all of us as adults need to relearn this. Children need to be taught gratitude, or they'll grow up thinking the world owes them everything. Well, as we come to a conclusion, I'd like you to say that verse with me once again. Would you do that? Colossians 3:17. This is a verse I'd like you to live in this week. Let's say it. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In my wallet, I carry a little piece of paper that I've been carrying for 15 years. 1990. And here's what it says. The same words that you have on the bottom of your note sheet, if you happen to have one of those, but I know not all of you have one. But here's what it says. Lord Jesus, A-A-A. Anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. I like that, and I made it possible, so if you do have notes, you can take that and you can put your, I signed that card 15 years ago, and I carry it as a reminder. Hey Jim, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I'd like you to bow your heads with me in prayer. And as your head is bowed, would you like that to be your heart commitment for life? Maybe for a number of you it has been for a long time. Praise the Lord. Just let's renew that heart commitment. I'd like to renew that heart commitment tonight. And I'd invite you to do the same thing. And if that is your heart's commitment, and you could say, Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. That's a pretty significant statement, isn't it? Am I asking too much of you to answer that with a great big yes, Lord? I hope that you will feel free in your spirit to say, yes, Lord, I am ready. Even while your heads are bowed, you might want to look down on those notes if you have them there, and if you've got a pen, maybe you'd like to put your name on that line, signed. Feel free to do that right now. Or if you don't have one of those sheets, just say it to the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, I'm ready. And just before we conclude in song, I feel led to just kind of give a little public invitation here tonight to any of us who'd like to declare this heart commitment before all these brothers and sisters who are here this evening here at West Highland. And if that is your heart desire, I'd like to give you one of those cards, just like the one I showed you that I have in my wallet. I have some here. And for those who would come and stand with me here, I'd like to give you one of these cards. Young people, boys and girls, adults, without any music right now, just you and the Lord. Would you like to go on record? I know a number of you have made this commitment many times before, but if you'd like to go on record, God bless you. I want to give you one of these. Stay with us here. Just stay with us. Good. Let's just stay up front here. Just stay with me here. Oh, that's good. Thank you. God bless you. Stay with us here, because we're just going to have a word of prayer in a moment. And we're going to seal this heart commitment to the Lord in prayer. Hey, that's good. I want each one of you to come right over into the middle here. That's great. Others of you here, this is wonderful. And this is what you're good. Thank you. Right here, I've got one for you. Yeah. Good. This is great. There may be others of you who'd like to join this group up here. And as you take these cards, this is something you can stick in your wallet if you like and just carry it as another fresh reminder of your heart commitment to Jesus, so that in everything you do and say, you're doing it in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. I have a few more over here. That's great. Thank you. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer now with these people. And I want to commend you for just standing here and letting all these people, they're looking at you. Did you know that? These people are looking at you. They're also praying for you. By the way, the reason I say that is because this is kind of a public declaration you're making. And I'm so grateful you're willing to do that. Well, let's thank the Lord that he's here and speaking to our hearts. And can we just have a word of prayer together now? Could I lead you in this prayer? I'd like to give you little sections of prayer, and I'd like for you to pray those out loud, will you, after me? That'll be our prayer of fresh commitment to the Lord this evening. And you say this, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. I have received him with faith in my heart. Tonight, I again declare that I belong totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep me from sin. Give me a heart of love for you, dear Lord. Give me a heart of compassion for people around me. May I remember that I am Christ's representative. May you be pleased with my life. Keep me in the Word. Keep me prayerful all the time. And may my heart be full of thanksgiving. Lord Jesus, anything, anytime, anywhere, I am ready. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, dear friends. God bless you as you move into a glorious new week.